are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome back to another week of Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're here for your daily dose of Pacers information, and this week we might have some travel issues that may disrupt Thursday's show, but we'll be sure to catch up, there's no doubt. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and today for our daily dose of Pacers info, we'll look back at the Pacers' loss to the Magic on Friday in Orlando, and we'll check in on the day after response as the Pacers were back at the Fieldhouse for practice on Saturday. And we heard from Paul George and Nate McMillan. And then we'll look ahead to the final full week of preseason action for the Pacers with the regular season just about a week and a half away. Let's get it going. So back to Friday. Pacers paid a visit on Frank Vogel and his new digs at Orlando and got an up-close and personal look at his supersized lineup, and he had them looking pretty good, at least good enough to beat the Pacers 114-106. So when you kind of look back at this game, and we're kind of two or three games within the game with the way the rotations played out and how they played at different times in the game. But the good thing was that Nate McMillan played it similar to a regular game. The starters played, roughly starters minutes, and the game was tight. They had a chance to win down the stretch. Didn't come through. We'll hit on that a little bit later. But overall, it was classic preseason action where you can take whatever you want out of it and discard the rest. One thing we know that when Paul George was responding to Frank Vogel leaving the Pacers and joining the Magic, he had a kind of a heartfelt social media post about their time together as player and coach, and how kind of closed it out by saying he looked forward to giving him that wink the first time he scored against him, and he didn't waste any time to get that wink out to Vogel. So 15 seconds into the game, PG on the first possession just a little step back, 15 footer, and knocked it down. So took care of that detail right away. So actually, the Pacers starting unit really got out and running pretty well. Now the Magic are big team. Nikola Vucevic, Serge Ibaka, power forward, and Aaron Gordon, who's basically a kind of a power forward, almost not quite the size maybe, but probably equally dynamic as a Blake Griffith type player, really active big guy, playing small forward. So that was a lot to contend with. The Pacers kept running in that first quarter, and they the starters pushed them out to a lead. They were ahead 30-19 after one. And the pace of the game was at about 108 possessions per 48 minutes. So that's pretty good pace, and that's, I'm sure they'd take that all the time. But, of course, that's not how the game ended. The game ended close to 103. And as you might expect, the Magic slowed things down a little bit. And ran a lot more half court with their big guys, but the biggest difference was the second unit for the Magic really had their way with the Pacers. So and again, it's a pretty strong second unit. Bismack Biyombo, who absolutely killed the Pacers last year, Jeff Green, who's been starter reserve a lot of NBA minutes. And then C.J. Watson, who we're all familiar with, and a guy who is trying to earn a spot on the roster and appears to have the inside track on that, Damo Rudesh. He made some great plays and knocked down some shots and really seen his game grown since he left the Pacers. And if you go by the fact that at this point in preseason, you know, teams are kind of playing who they're hoping to play, it looks like Damo may be on that opening night roster. So very good for him. It was nice to see him playing so well, albeit at the expense of the Pacers. So, but that second unit with, you know, Stuckey struggled, Al Jefferson struggled. I think those guys are going to really be better on the attack, at least, you know, Stuckey. They were without Aaron Brooks and C.J. Miles. Of course, C.J. Miles hasn't played all preseason, but Brooks was out this time with sore knees, so Joe Young got those backup point guard minutes, and then Glenn Robinson had the backup minutes at the wing. So they really, that was if you were just looking at the box score. Fortunately, I was able to watch most of the game, but if you're just looking at the box score, you know, you see all of the plus minus for the reserves. You know, Stuckey minus 20, Joe Young minus 24, Al Jefferson minus 21, and then the starters were all in the positive, and that obviously was a big difference in the game. Although, you know, down the stretch that starting unit had a chance. They had battled back, gotten, actually taken the lead, and definitely had a chance to win the game, and really struggled to get the stops they needed to get over the hump. So that was the frustrating part with the starting unit, where sure, you could blame it on the bench, but there was a lot of work to do, and that pretty much is what Nate McMillan said on Saturday, that that starting unit, even though they came out strong, played fast and well, there was a lot of work to be done with those guys. And Paul George kind of echoed those comments, especially on the defensive end, that, you know, they have a lot of work to do. He also mentioned, you know, the hard work they've been putting in, and the fact that, you know, dead legs were definitely part of the issue as well. So, and it kind of, you know, quite frankly, looked like it late in the game, which is also something, you know, CC or Caitlin Cooper has mentioned in a post earlier, and the fact that, you know, we talk about dead legs, but it also may be the fact that, you know, they're playing at a faster pace during the game, and they're going to have to be used to handling that pace all the way through. I know also Paul George had three early fouls. He, again, I mentioned Gordon playing the three. Such a, you know, he's got a lot of burst in his game, a lot of bounce, and he really got into the lane and forced things into Paul and got some calls. So he was kind of a tough matchup. And, you know, as we've seen throughout the preseason, I think, you know, Paul is in preseason mode. He's not dialed into regular season mode, and, you know, he's not shooting that well, and he's definitely getting his game and legs in shape, and hopefully everything will be ready to roll once the real games begin. So going back to the reserve unit, McMillan did again play a 10-man rotation, and he had LaVoy Allen playing those spot big minutes in the first half, and then in the second half he had rookie George Nang play those minutes, or a few minutes. He didn't have him play as many as LaVoy did, but put him in, I guess, for a little different look there. So that second unit still a little work in progress, obviously without Aaron Brooks. You're not getting a full look, or C.J. Miles. But the idea that it looks like, at least, that to make sure they have another big in there, they're going to be sticking with that 10-man rotation for a little while, I would think. So, as far as the, you know, some of the numbers, you know, some of the things that McMillan focuses on, turnovers, obviously taking care of the ball. Effing turnovers is, I think, how they're properly defined now. But they did do a good job with that. Only five in the first half, despite all the points they'd given up, and 13 overall for the game. The Magic gave up a ton. They had 25 total turnovers, and that actually gave the Pacers a plus 16 point advantage in points off turnovers. So when you're getting that kind of an advantage, something else has to be going wrong. Aside from letting guys make shots, the Pacers did get beat badly on the glass. I think they were out-rebounded 51-38. And in particular, Serge Ibaka and Biombo, they combined for 26 rebounds, just eating glass all night. So, I'm starting to think the Pacers might just want to do something, do whatever they can to acquire Biombo, just so they don't have to face him anymore. He's become an annoying player to have on the other team because he seems to do enough of the little things and get to the ball to cause problems. So, and back on with Paul George, I mentioned the early foul trouble, kind of that he's in regular season mode. he did finish with 16 points, had 4 steals. He didn't alter his shooting percentages. He's around 30% from the floor and from threes. So, that's just going to be getting everything to come together. Again, on Saturday, he talks about that starting unit getting used to playing, the different style of play, and he has to get used to it. And a lot of that is getting comfortable with where he's going to get shots, when he's going to get shots, and the fact that he may not get as many shots because they're pushing it and getting the ball up, and if you're open, you're taking the shot. So, and he was asked if that would be a problem for him, the fact that he might not be getting as many shots this year, and of course he chuckled and said, as long as we're winning, as long as the team's winning, then he'll be giving up shots. So there you go. There's a little team dynamic theme to watch out for. If people start getting a little antsy over their shots, if things aren't going great. It's interesting that, the team had played Friday night, no doubt arrived late, home late, on the plane, if not in the wee hours of Saturday morning, but they were back during the day practicing. Not real long, but real hard, apparently. Apparently part of that is something McMillan's kind of worked out with the training staff, that it is better at this point to be practicing right the day after, and then day after a game, and then taking the following day off. So they didn't practice on Sunday, but did put the work in on Saturday. So they'll be back at it again tomorrow at the field house. So one thing Paul mentioned in trying to figure out where everybody is that they're kind of playing now with 5 perimeter guys because Miles Turner is fully willing to step out and shoot at least mid-range shots, if not 3. He had some great flashes in that game. We're talking about Miles Turner. He finished with 17 points. He had a great highlight dunk, just cocked it back, finished strong. But one thing I took from watching some of his misses, actually, in the game is that, he's so quick with the ball. Facing up, it seems like he can get a shot up anytime he wants. And could be a real weapon. I mean, I'm sure there will be games this year where he has it going and, he's going to blow past 30 points in a game. So hopefully those games will be a little more frequent than you might think. But that shot, sometimes he rushes it to a fault, I think. He is so quick to turn and just has to make sure he gets squared up and gets all his mind, body, and shot all in sync there. Because sometimes one can get a little ahead of the other, but it is a nightmare for someone trying to defend him, especially when he could fake, and if you get get someone up, he can go buy them as well. So the ever-developing game of a young big man is going to be fun to watch it unfold and hopefully give us some more highlights like that big dunk and maybe 3, 4, 5 shots in a row going down where he just another team just doesn't have an answer for him. So I need to take a break and thank the Locked On Podcast Network for all their support. And, you know, please check out the other Locked On podcasts around the NBA Network and the NFL, of course. Locked On Colts, always a great show. And Locked On NBA, they have both the Eastern Conference and Western Conference previews up. So please check it out. And I want to also point you to article Mark Monteith had on Pacers.com from the Saturday workout, basically. And he's, from his reporting on that, that's where I got the part about the team working with the trainers on the practice game plan and taking the day off and all that. So it's a great story. I meant to mention that earlier when I was saying that, so don't want to forget Mark. He does a great job keeping us informed on the Pacers, so check that out. Now, you know, for injury update, looking ahead, C.J. Miles was at practice today, shot around a little bit, did not practice again. So there's no mention of Aaron Brooks. I'm assuming he was involved on some level, but McMillan mentioned that he didn't expect CJ to play in the final preseason game. So that would be kind of a bummer for Miles. He hasn't been able to play, and it's hard to tell when he'll be ready. McMillan specifically said there's no concern with the, you know, sore knee, but again, we're moving into 3 weeks here, so I do think that, again, Caitlin has a great point on this as well, you know, saying that if CJ, you know, struggling to remain healthy right now, you know, maybe the Pacers should just scrap their plans for having him play any minutes of the power forward. Just, you know, let him try to play to his strengths and avoid, you know, that extra physical abuse. You know, if they're going to be punching Lavoy in there for minutes anyways, they could do that and also use some Paul George if they want to go small. But anyways, you know, obviously you're not going to want heavy minutes at the four for CJ as it is, but he's really struggling to stay on the floor. So assuming that he's not going to have issues while playing the floor might not be the best way to go. So we'll keep an eye on that as usual as we're moving forward. So in a week and a half, as I mentioned earlier, the Fieldhouse will be rocking for opening night, home opener, season opener against the Dallas Mavericks on Wednesday, October 26th. But first, the Pacers have to finish up preseason play, and they'll do that on Wednesday against the Milwaukee Bucks up in Milwaukee. So that game will tip at 8 p.m. I'm pretty sure there's no TV of the over-the-air variety. But, of course, I'm sure Mark Boyle will be providing the HD visuals on the Pacers Radio Network. So be able to keep track of that. And then the next game will count for real. So cannot wait to get the regular season going. And see just what this team is going to be like. It really is easy, especially after watching kind of the last two preseason games, to see, you know, how good they can be, and then also where their where the chinks in their armor are as well, and how, honestly, you almost have to recalibrate how you're measuring things and how you're looking at things with this team. As I've mentioned before, but they also seem like they may end up, you know, being about the same team win-wise. So they're still going to have those issues. You know, one thing that popped up in that Orlando game was a free throw issue. It seemed like last year there were a lot of games where the team was streaky, and they would miss a ton of free throws in certain games. Other games, they'd make the bulk of them, and again, we've seen that in the preseason, even with a bunch of new players shooting free throws. So, yeah, at one point they were, I think, 6 of 12 from the line in the first half. So that's always annoying. And even though there's so many new faces, new coaches, new style of play, there's still going to be some of the same guys doing some of the same things. And so we just have to figure out how to minimize the problems and keep pushing forward. And I'm looking forward to seeing. I know this team is going to score. I mean, if you look around the league in preseason, some of these scores are out of control. So, again, recalibrating defense, what's good defense, you know, it is all kind of moving now at a different pace. And so we'll have to see how it plays out with this team. But there's no doubt they're going to be able to get buckets. But as we saw on Friday, you still got to stop the other team from getting buckets if you really want to win. So, thanks again for listening to the podcast. You can find it on audioboom.com. You can also subscribe to the pod on iTunes. And all prior episodes are available, so check them out. And if you would like to sponsor the show, we'd love to have you. Please feel free to reach me at indycornrows@gmail.com. You can also send me any comments or questions. You can also reach me on Twitter at @indycornrows. So that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.